Hello, and thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my trusty sidekick, my partner in crime. Really, the best way to describe this person is my everything. It's at Eric Dalala. Eric, hey.
Do we start, Phil?
Yeah, we're doing the show here.
Oh,
yeah.
If
you could just try and focus.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to be disrespectful there.
Thank you. Just please pay attention to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Of course, the other day when we were at Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse in Littleton off of Santa Fe, were not paying attention.
Heard it's a nice place.
You were a little grumpy the other night.
Phil, no one could hear what we were saying at Breckenridge
Brewery's
farmhouse
in Littleton. Audio difficulties.
Yeah, home, excuse me.
Yeah, and so you were getting a little distracted by the audio problems.
Simply trying to make sure that our lovely voices could go out over the concourse there, the open fields.
Some YouTube commenters were upset with you.
That's true. But sometimes, Phil, as you know, like on our last week's show here at the facility at UCL Training Center, I had to look at my phone to tweet out some injury news. So
that's true.
Most of the time it's about
the work never stops.
Most of the time it's just being an R, Phil. But
yeah.
You're right. You deserve the attention.
I'm
fully focused.
Thank you. Oh, no phone. Wow.
Yeah.
What if something happens?
Yeah, that could come back to bite
me.
Yeah,
you feel a little bit naked,
don't
you? Yeah,
I don't like this.
Yeah.
Let's do this quick.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, check out the YouTube video from Monday. Eric not paying attention there. But thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone on this. Well, we're recording on Wednesday, but this is our Thursday show as we look ahead to the Broncos and Jets coming up. Eric, the Broncos are 10.5-point favorites.
It doesn't feel like a game you should be worried about. Normally about this time of the week, I start getting a little antsy.
Not this week.
I start worrying a little bit. I don't feel that this week.
Are you overconfident, though? That could come back and get you.
I mean, I'm already thinking ahead to Baltimore.
Wow.
Which, as we know, Phil, the last time the Broncos were this heavily favored was against the New York Giants back in 2017.
Sunday Night Football, Trevor Siemian pick six.
Wow.
Yeah, they lost.
What did Trevor Siemian do to you?
Pick six is burned into my brain.
I know, Janoris Jenkins, I think, right?
Yeah. So you can't overlook this Jets team.
That's true.
I'm telling you.
No, you're right, because that team, that 2017 team, I think was 3-1 maybe.
Yeah.
And then that was the start of an 8-game losing streak, I believe.
As Teddy Bridgewater put it on Wednesday, don't take the cheese, it's poison.
Not the type of cheese I get.
He said you go to King
Supers, you get some nice cheese.
Yeah.
That ain't poison.
Your number one cheese.
Yes.
Parmesan.
That's true.
Most
Parmesan.
That is the
mozzarella
number one cheese.
Second.
The number one cheese is Parmesan. I don't think there's any. There's no debate about that. Yeah. Certainly not on this show.
No, definitely not.
No. But yeah, I like how Teddy Bridgewater just says, my mentor told me don't take the cheese. I think he means Bill Parcells.
Yeah, he's revealed who his mentor is, but I like that he keeps it
he
a little
says,
mysterious.
My mentor.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or like Splinter told me. Before your time.
Yeah.
You don't even know what I'm
talking
about. I've
seen the cartoon a couple times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm a little young for that.
Yeah. That's his mentor.
Probably 14 years old.
Guidance, that's like when Harry Potter.
Okay, now you
got
it.
Yeah, now you know what I'm talking about.
Like a Dumbledore situation.
Yes, yeah, that's
got
where he gets
it.
A little. Yeah,
yeah okay.
Yeah, let me put it in your words.
Yeah, I got it. I got it now.
Yeah. Well, on this show, we'll of course talk about Teddy Bridgewater starting to get a little bit of national attention. Eric,
he is well deserved.
Yeah. Starting to get on the radar a little bit here as the Broncos are 2-0 and Teddy Bridgewater off to such a hot start. We'll dive into that a little bit. We'll talk about Von Miller too. You know, he's missing his sidekick now in Bradley Chubb, but he's off to a hot start. 3 sacks this season. Can he keep it going? And more importantly, what does his future look like now that he still looks like the Von Miller we all know and love?
Got to start thinking about that for sure.
Yeah, you always got to be thinking about the future
a little bit.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about the Jets a little bit as well. You know, dive into some matchups that we should pay attention to. We'll have some bold predictions, I think, Eric.
Yeah, I love bold predictions.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have a voicemail from AJ. AJ has been leaving some voicemails. He's Teddy Bridgewater's number one fan, and at the end of this show, we'll get to him.
Teddy, he talks more about Teddy Bridgewater, and I respect this, more than Teddy Bridgewater does.
Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't like to talk about Teddy Bridgewater.
No, he doesn't. AJ likes to talk about Teddy Bridgewater. Which is okay. We like that.
And before we get into anything else Eric, I want to mention, we do have Neutral Zone stickers.
We do.
Okay? We've got these stickers that we printed out. They're pretty cool. You can put them on a water bottle. You could put it on a cooler. You could put it on your laptop. You could put it anywhere you want. It's weather resistant. Some very nice adhesive on the back. If you would like some Neutral Zone stickers, please reach out via email.
Yep, that's Eric. Right.
That is the way to get stickers. Email us at
NeutralZoneShow@gmail.com.
Leave us your address. Tell us you want some stickers, and I promise I'll put it in the mail, and I'll send it right to you.
You already mailed some out.
I did.
To some of our most loyal fans.
Some people have been commenting on YouTube, like, I want some stickers.
Yeah, it doesn't
work.
And
I'm like,
how? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just email us, and I'll send them to you.
We could give them your home address. They could just stop by and pick up a couple stickers.
This is my home address here at the Broncos facility.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Yeah, this is where
maybe we could start selling them at the team store.
We could. Yeah, make a little bit of a side change.
And if you if you take one of these Neutral Zone stickers, you go to a tattoo parlor and you
they'll
use this as a template, they'll do it for you.
Yeah.
You can come host the show with us for a week
if
you
do
that.
If you do that, you can come host the show with us. Yeah.
Tom Magnetti right now.
Tom Magnetti might do that. Yes. Yeah.
He's ready.
He's one of our number one fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you do want stickers, I'll mail them out to you for free. And then just take a picture of what you do with it and then hit us up on Twitter at Eric Dalala with an A, at Phil Milani with a PH. Non-traditional spellings.
Right. If it's weird what you do with the sticker, don't send it to us.
No, I still want the weird ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the weird ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And if you want to just be a part of the show, you don't need to host it, but you just want to be a part of it, leave us a voicemail just like AJ does every week, 707-NEUTRAL. It'll just go straight to voicemail, and you leave a voicemail, we'll play it right here on the show.
Yeah, that could be nice.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
And if you're watching, we're back in our natural habitat here in our podcast studio. That's all this area is used for.
That's right.
Podcast studio.
It looks almost, sorry for turning around, I'll be very focused. It looks behind me almost like a real football field.
It does.
But it's just a studio.
Yeah. This is all green screen behind us. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we don't wear green shirts ever.
Yeah. Somebody said nice green shirts last week.
I only wear blue shirts.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah.
I would get their eyes checked, maybe.
Otherwise, we'd just blur right into the background.
Exactly.
Yeah. But if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you go ahead and smash that subscribe button right below the video. How do you do that, Eric? Just smash the subscribe. And those are all the ways that you can get in touch with the show. And, again, just email us, and I'll send you some stickers. Don't worry about it. I'll do it, okay?
Don't worry about it.
Forget about it. Okay, let's get into our first topic here. Teddy Bridgewater starting to get a little bit of national attention. I believe that he is scheduled to be on the CBS pregame show on Sunday.
Is he?
Yeah, Phil Simms, I believe, is going to talk to him.
Wow. Yeah, so. some national press. Dan Orlovsky from ESPN was talking about him. Robert Mays from The Ringer was talking about him. It's hard, Phil, I think, to get that national attention when you're not on national TV. These first two games and this weekend's game against the Jets are both kind of, they're buried somewhat. You're only getting them if you're in the Rocky Mountain region or in the other teams' markets, so not a lot of people are seeing them live, but people are paying attention when they go back and watch Teddy for good reason.
The Broncos are one of only two undefeated teams in the AFC. The other team, some team out in the desert. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like a fluky situation.
Yes. But the Broncos 2-0, off to a hot start. Teddy Bridgewater with the quarterback competition here in Denver wins that, leads this team to two victories to start the year. And he's just got such an amazing story. I think that it's hard not to root for Teddy Bridgewater at this point. You know, the injury there in Minnesota, he goes to the Jets, doesn't actually play in a game there, but gets moved to New Orleans and then learns from Drew Brees. He had a funny thing he said on Wednesday. He said, kind of reminded me of when Peyton Manning was in this building where you'd be joking around and then all of a sudden Drew Brees walks down the hall and you kind of just sit up a little straighter, you act a little bit more serious. That's how things were with Peyton Manning around here. I don't think that's any accident. That's how all the great quarterbacks have that kind of presence, you know. And he talked about that, learning from Drew in New Orleans and then of course playing the 1 year in Carolina. Now he's here. I feel like he's starting to get comfortable here, and it's just a tremendous story.
Yeah, and the truth part about it is that he was on his way to becoming a franchise quarterback in Minnesota. I mean, he played decently his rookie year, starting as a rookie. He went 11-5 his second year, and everyone thought, hey, this kid is poised to kind of take off and kind of be that next great quarterback. Certainly could have been the best quarterback in his class. You're talking about guys like gosh, I'm blanking on his name. Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yeah.
Was in that class. Derek Carr was taken right behind him. Jimmy Garoppolo was taken behind him. So not out of the
Jimmy G?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not out of the question to say I'm missing one guy who was taken in the top 10. I don't think that was the Brandon Whedon draft. I think that was 2012. It's in a story coming out this week on DenverBroncos.com. But
I'm the emotional guy. You're the facts guy. So
yeah,
I'm not
that's
sure
true. I'll come up with it. But
yeah.
Basically, he was on this path. Then he gets the injury, isn't going to get a place to play in New York. And he told me that was the New York stop might have been the toughest for him because he was brought in there thinking, hey, I'm going to have a chance to play. Then you draft, you have Christian Hackenberg, who was a second-round pick. Then they draft Sam Darnold, and he just kind of knew, I'm stuck. I'm a starting quarterback, and I have no way to prove it.
And he was probably trying to, like, hey, can I still play in this league, you know, after the injury? And then he said he started to finally feel like himself again while he was there.
Yeah, and then you go to New Orleans. He said he kind of let himself slip into being a backup, didn't prepare as if he was a starter, but did play well when he got that chance in 2019. And then he plays well in Carolina for the first part of the season. And
it's
think
a little dinged up.
Well, I think some of that, Phil, is beyond his control. It was not a very good roster. He was dinged up. We kind of read about the issues with the red zone practice and that sort of thing. And so he came here and expectations weren't high. But
for him.
For him, right?
Yeah.
But he's shown that he's a guy that was once considered a potential franchise guy. And I think he's showing that this is not necessarily a slam dunk that somebody else is going to be starting here next year.
I'll say this, Eric. The fact that Teddy Bridgewater's got off to this hot of a start, it makes me wonder, like, well, what? How much better was Drew Lock? The fact that it was a quarterback competition so tight all the way up to the the end of the preseason there. I mean, and then Teddy's playing like this. The way he's been playing, it's like it should have been no question. So
you're pandering.
Kind of
like,
well,
the YouTube comments
were
like,
I can't believe that there was
like,
such a tight quarterback competition. I mean, that's what I'm saying. For him to come out and play like this, you're like, wait a second, this guy was just in a competition here?
It's true.
I mean, that's what my point is, just that.
No,
that,
they have two good options.
Yeah. I mean, for him to be in that competition and then just to come out and sort of – act like he's just been the guy here for a long time. I mean, even when Bradley Chubb goes down, gets hurt, visibly upset on the field, he's the one who's going over there and talking to him and saying, hey, keep your head up, good things are to come here. This is just a small bump in the road here. That's Teddy Bridgewater doing that, and he's kind of acting like he's just been around forever.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a good point. He's been the emotional leader of the team. We've talked about how we think that Teddy's the reason that you've been able to get past some of these mistakes that maybe in the past you let compound and kind of lose you a game in New York or have you go into halftime trailing. Teddy's the reason that that hasn't happened. And then on the field, I think he's pushing the ball down the field well. He's been pretty accurate. I think I haven't checked week two stats yet, but week one had the fewest bad throws of any quarterback in the league, which is...
How do you measure that, Eric?
They have their ways.
Oh, man,
fewest bad throws.
Oh, jeez.
Ranked second in QBR in the league through 2 weeks.
What's the stat you really like? The
DVOA.
DVOA.
DNVR,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
No, that's not. That's a bar.
DVOA?
DVOA, yeah.
What did they say about him?
They like the Broncos offense. The DVOA, fourth in the NFL. They don't do the same... The thing I look at... not a position-by-position breakdown, more about the unit as a whole.
I saw something. I'm kind of interested in what you think about this. I saw a commenter on YouTube commented and said, wait until defensive coordinators just figure out Pat Shurmur.
Ooh.
Do you think that there's any risk in that? Just that, like, hey, new quarterback here, Pat Shurmur working together, not sure what to expect if you're an opposing defense these first couple of weeks, but maybe teams will start to get enough tape to have a better game plan. Any risk of that?
I think... The risk is that teams stop selling out to stop the run and play the pass a little more honestly. And if that's the case, that's fine, because then you'll just run the ball a little bit more. So as long as Teddy's playing this way...
Pick your poison.
Yeah, exactly. We know that Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams are good enough that they're going to be able to perform if you clear the box a little bit for them. So, I mean, Pat Shurmur's offense is the same thing it's been for years here. So I'm not too worried about that. And you look back in Minnesota... What he was able to do with Case Keenum, he was able to keep that going for a whole season. So I don't see any reason with the top-end talent that the Broncos can't continue to be successful. My larger question about Teddy, and this comes into play when Phil, people are already saying, extend Teddy.
Oh, already?
Keep him here. I've seen it. I've seen it. It's out there.
Wow.
my larger question is, like it is with any quarterback, the definition of a franchise guy is somebody that can carry a team when there aren't necessarily all these pieces around him. Teddy's clearly good enough that with these pieces around him to lead this team to wins, to probably make a push for the playoffs. Who knows what happens then? Maybe they really get things going. But what happens in a few years when you can't pay everybody here, and all of a sudden the roster, maybe it's a top 15 roster instead of a top 5 roster? Can you still deliver? And that's what I still kind of need to see. And I don't really know how you know that for sure until it just kind of happens.
And that's what we kind of talked about on Monday, right, on our earlier podcast. Just, you know, it's been 2 weeks, two not top-end teams in the NFL, in the Giants and Jaguars, and even this week facing the Jets. You're not going to really know what you got here until probably the following week when the Ravens come to town. If they take care of business there, then I think it's legitimate hype. Let's get going here. But let's just pump the brakes here. It's 2 weeks. It's been great. Let's have it keep continuing. And I think the motto the Broncos are taking has been good. It's just, let's just go 1-0 this week.
Yeah.
You got to go that way, right?
That's important. And there's no reason that they can't keep winning some of these games. They're not going to go 17-0, but it's nice this year with Teddy, with the offense you have, with the defense. I don't see a game on this schedule right now where you say they've got no chance to win this game.
No, I mean, I don't think that exists anymore for this team. Like, the talent has gotten to the point where there are no games like that.
Like, I don't know that you go into Kansas City in December and win necessarily, but I'm not going to go into that game, you know, assuming things are somewhat similar in how they're playing. I'm not going to go into that game thinking there's no chance they can do this.
No.
So,
I mean, they might not be the favorite, but they certainly will be not 10.5-point underdogs or something like that.
Well, and I mean, look at you talk about being a favorite. Last year, I don't think the Broncos were favored in a single game. If they were, it was one toward the end of the year.
Yeah.
They've been favored in the first two on the road. They're definitely favored this week at home.
Yeah.
And if they, with a win, they're going to be favored against Baltimore at home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me is what a change of fortune there. And a lot of it has to do with Teddy.
What do you think this stadium's going to be like on Sunday?
Rocking.
It's going to be rocking.
I almost wish that the Ravens game was this week.
Oh, because of the energy.
Just, yeah, like you want to, something about the first home game, you kind of want it to be like this dramatic, like really big game.
It'll be that way the next week.
Yeah, no, it will be.
Yeah. A halftime performer, who is it?
Flo Rida.
Florida?
Yes.
Yeah.
Flo Rida,
of course, performed at the Broncos Super Bowl 50 celebration.
I would know nothing about
that. I was there.
Yeah.
I was up on stage going crazy.
Wade Phillips was there.
Yeah, Wade Phillips went up on stage. That was a Phillips. Not this
Phillips, one. Not yeah, Phillip. Not,
exactly. The confusion there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, of course, this whole, he sort of holds a special place in a lot of Broncos' hearts.
Oh, definitely.
Now, you know, if you were there.
Flo Rida.
Yeah, Flo Rida.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting atmosphere. Handing out towels, I think.
I've heard. Reunited in orange.
Yeah. Larimer Square, they're going to be putting up stuff.
Some banners.
They're going to start painting the lines out on the field. I mean, it's
here. It's here.
Yeah.
It's weird because the season started 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's been, I mean, it's been almost a month since the Broncos had a preseason game at home. So
I think the Broncos are like, they've got some crazy stat for home winning their home openers. Of course, not the last couple of years, but before that it was like 19, I think it's something
like
that.
It was like 19 of 20 or 19 of 21, something like that.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I think part of that is a lot of those were week one and week two.
Yeah.
I think when guys aren't as in good a shape, coming to the elevation is hard.
God, but well, it's still hard to come into this elevation.
Yeah.
You know, they play this video, Eric. I don't know if it's like altitude sickness and it's like elevation warning.
That's nice.
Yeah. They play that in the fourth quarter sometimes. And
are you going to wear your apple bottom jeans and your boots with the fur?
No.
No.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
I don't think so. Okay. Not this week.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Even for Flo Rida.
Yeah, I was just
I'm
curious.
I'm not going to do it. Not this week.
Okay.
Nope. Eric, let's move on to our second topic here on the Neutral Zone. We're talking about Von Miller. Off to a hot start this season. 3 sacks already. But now he's going to be without Bradley Chubb for the foreseeable future. 6 to 8 weeks, maybe, after he gets a scope to remove a bone spur. We learned that on Tuesday this week. Heard it straight from Bradley Chubb.
That's right. Heard it straight from Bradley Chubb. Nice for him to be able to get his messaging out there.
Yeah.
You can tell he's just torn up about it.
He was really upset the other day, and I think it's understandable. He's got the ACL, you know, and then he doesn't really feel quite like himself last year, but he gets gets through it, makes the Pro Bowl, has to have an operation on his other ankle in the offseason. Now it's this ankle. He was saying he doesn't really feel like himself, you know, and that's got to be a terrible feeling.
Yeah, so hopefully he's right, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
The later end of that would put him back probably after the bye week, which is, we've talked again and again about this. I view after the bye week as the
crunch time.
It's going to decide if this team makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if he's back for those five division games,
that'll be huge.
After the bye week, that would be
two Chiefs games.
Two Chiefs games, yeah. Two Chargers games.
Yeah.
That's going to be big. That'll be big. So hopefully he heals up. In the meantime, though, Phil, what we've seen Von Miller do so far has been without Bradley Chubb anyway, really.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because even against the Jaguars, I don't think – didn't look to me like Bradley Chubb was providing much pressure or he wasn't able to do much even when he
himself.
Was out there.
Yeah.
So Von's been able to provide all this pressure by himself, essentially.
Yeah.
Not to discount Malik Reed or Jonathan Cooper, but without another top –
on
elite.
The outside. The inside has been pretty good. Shelby Harris has been in there. Draymond Jones has been in close.
But I think what has impressed me is that even in 2019, like when he had those 8 sacks, he would sometimes sneak through for one of those sacks, but you didn't feel like the pressure the whole game. He was after Trevor Lawrence a lot.
The whole time.
You know, like 6, 7, 8 times where you're like, man, he's in his face, forced him to throw the ball away. That's big, and if he can keep doing that, that's obviously going to really help the Broncos. Teams will adjust, I think. You're going to see a lot more double teams. They're going to go back to chipping him.
Yeah.
Because I think part of these first 2 weeks, teams are probably like, well, what can Von Miller still do? You don't want to dedicate many resources if he's not all there. But he's back. That should free things up for Draymond Jones and them if Von does get double teamed. But, yeah, if he – I guess my biggest question is just, can he keep this going?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing about older players. I would say Von is probably an older player at this point. The thing isn't the first couple of weeks of the season, do they still have the skill level? Obviously, they do have that. It's, can you get through the whole 17 games now? Can you stay healthy? Can you do what's necessary for your body to be ready to go every single week? And I think Von can do that. And I think that... he's shown that he's still the same guy, in my opinion. And I think that if he can stay healthy, take care of himself, he's on pace for, 26 sacks now, you know, something like that. So I think that keep this going. He has traditionally started seasons very hot. So I will say that traditionally very hot start and then kind of falling off toward the end of the season. But if he can keep this thing going, I think we have to start asking ourselves a question, Eric. What is the future for Von Miller? Does George Payton start talking to him now about, hey, we want you to be a Bronco for life? I think Von wants to be a Bronco for life. You start talking about that now?
I mean, he's already done Valor's nursery. You don't want to have to redo somewhere else.
You can't move.
No. Von is interesting because, like you mentioned, the starts to seasons have been really good. The ends have not always been quite as good. I would just kind of monitor for right now. Because, and I would say, you know, if Von gets to like 12 or 13 sacks or 14 sacks, then you're in the area where I think you need to start considering this, of bringing him back. And, of course, if he goes like 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever, then he's probably going to demand top money.
That's what I was going to say. Like, what do you think the market is going to be like? The high-end pass rusher still? Or is he going to be like on a DeMarcus Ware end-of-career type of contract?
I think it depends. If he's in that 10 to 15 range, he's probably still going to get a pretty – he's not going to set the market, but he's still going to get a really good salary. If he goes in that – if he gets 15-plus, you know, and he's pushing for a high of his career or whatever – then he really could go back to being a top two or three guy. So
you sort of think it just depends on what he does this season.
Yeah, and I also think the reason you monitor is because when Bradley Chubb comes back, you want to see what you have from Bradley, because I think your decision about Vaughn is impacted by what your eventual decision about Bradley is going to be.
So there's a lot of layers.
If Bradley comes back and over the, you know, he could say he comes back at the bye over the first 4 weeks, you're not seeing it, you don't, like, he's still not right or whatever, then maybe you say, okay, we can give a little bit more to Vaughn because now it looks like Vaughn is going to be our future here for the next couple years. Whereas if Bradley comes back and is, you know, he's finally right, He gets a couple sacks in his first game. He's tearing it up. He's this missing piece in the defense. Maybe you have to consider, hey, we can't give Vaughn 15 a year because we're going to have to pay Bradley Chubb. And so I think that's somewhat connected. The same way that I don't know that you necessarily can pay Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy both like top wide receiver money, that I don't know if you can do that with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller.
Part of the trick, though, I guess, is going to be sort of forecasting what you think, because if you think Von is going to get up to that, you know, high sack total this year, maybe you try and get the deal done now. You know, where he hasn't already proven it, but you can sort of forecast that. Maybe you get a little bit of a deal. I don't know. I think that's sort of the trick to this whole thing, is trying to stay ahead of it.
Yeah, and I would guess, this is purely speculative, but I would think that with a guy his age, 32, right?
I think so, yeah.
You're probably going to want to work in smaller deals.
Yeah,
so it's not going to be a six-year extension.
No.
I would think it would be a
three-year.
Or 2 years where like one is guaranteed and the next year is an option. And just kind of go year to year at that point and see what happens. Because with these pass rushers, and really any player, when you hit that wall, you tend to go downhill fast. And so I don't think you want to say, you know, we've signed Vaughn for 5 years and it's guaranteed all the way through, or there's a cap hit all the way through. A lot of these teams are kind of figuring out how to do these voidable deals where like it says it's a 4-year deal, but you can really get out of it after one or 2 years. But it becomes more interesting because I think cap space is going to be tighter than it has been, just because you've got to
– young guys are going to start wanting money.
Exactly, and it's good. That's a good problem because it means you have good players. But Cortland Sutton, I mean, if Teddy Bridgewater ends up being the guy or like good enough that you need to keep him, you're going to have to pay Teddy Bridgewater.
Can't the Panthers just keep paying him?
That would be nice. But like, even if Teddy Bridgewater isn't, you know, a superstar, if he leads you to the playoffs, you're probably going to want to keep him.
Yeah.
And that's going to cost 20 plus million probably.
Yeah.
So at that point, you've got to do that. You got to do Sutton.
George Payton has a hard job.
He does. And then you've got all these defensive players that are on expiring contracts. You know, Alexander Johnson, Josie Jewell, I know he's hurt. Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, Kareem Jackson. You got to figure out who do you want to keep. Who do you want to kind of let go and replace? So it'll be an interesting offseason, but great news, Phil, that I think Vaughn is even on that track, because I had my doubts that he was going to come back and be the same guy right away. I thought it was going to take some time, so the fact that he's in it right away is great news.
And he's not here at this point just yet. Are you trying to get your water? That's okay. Do you want me to stop talking so you're not rude to get the water?
I'm trying. If people can figure.
Excuse the water.
Just keep listening to Phil.
Yeah, you keep paying attention.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, perfect. I was going to say Vaughn is not quite at this point yet, but maybe in a couple years he could just be like sort of that third down rusher, you know, where his play doesn't have to drop off, but you're using him a little bit less. And so like maybe if he's in that category, then that's going to determine his market too. So, you know, you don't want to pay him what he would demand right now 3 years from now. So maybe, but I'll just say this from a fan's perspective: you want Von Miller to finish his career in Denver, and that so rarely happens in the NFL now that I like it would just be awesome to see that, you know.
It would
just be fun to see that. I think
I mean, there's a lot of projection here, because with a guy like Bradley Chubb or Cortland Sutton or whoever, your assumption is they're going to get better because they're entering the prime of their career. With Vaughn, you've got to assume he's going to get worse at some point.
Yeah.
And so you got to figure out, when does that happen? What's the rate of decline? What can he do once he declines a little bit? So not an easy situation.
No. It's like the Patriots. They always get rid of a guy a year early, you know? But I'm just
hard.
Hoping.
That's hard when it's this guy.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that he stays. I hope he finishes it here.
They got rid of Tom Brady, it seems like, 5 years early.
Yes, who maybe even earlier.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. All right, Eric, let's move on to one of our final topics here, and just talking about this Jets team. Zach Wilson, a tough outing, speaking of the Patriots last week, 4 interceptions out there. Sort of seems like as he goes, that's how the Jets will be going this season. Of course, a rookie head coach and Robert Saleh out there. What are you paying attention to? What are you looking at with this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly about the Broncos, because they're talented enough that, and the spread reflects that if they show up, this shouldn't be an issue. I view this game as an opportunity to work on a lot of things that have not gone well. Can you cover kicks? can you convert on third down? You know, they were 2 of 11 last week, the Broncos. That's got to be better. Can you be better in the red zone? Can Teddy Bridgewater avoid some of these sacks that he's taken? I think they have like they've given up 5 this year, which is 23rd in the NFL. Mm. So they've been better in almost every category, points, yards, but not as good in third down, fourth down, and sacks. So those are third down, red zone, and sacks. So those things need to get better. And then as far as the Jets go, just make Zach Wilson's life miserable. Put a show on here. Show that you can put the clamps on a player like this. Don't let it be close. Justin Simmons said today, we don't want to be the group that lets Zach Wilson kind of figure things out.
Yeah,
you want to keep him in this just miserable stretch he's in.
I don't think Zach Wilson is... Is he ready for what's about to hit him?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. The atmosphere, it's going to be rocking, as we've already talked about. I mean, one of the things that Justin Simmons said, talking about this Vic Fangio defense, is sometimes we're in the defense that you see pre-snap, sometimes we're not. And I just think for a rookie quarterback, how the heck do you know what you're about to face?
Well, and Trevor Lawrence played against Alabama. You know, he played against some good teams in the ACC, played against Ohio State. He's used to some of these big-time, playing some big-time defenses. Zach Wilson went to BYU, and so
That's true.
I think there's going to be a learning curve there in terms of playing some of these elite-level defenses, these elite-level play callers. That's not to say he won't eventually be a good player, but I just think that there's a little bit more of a learning curve there for him. And
he's got the physical tools, obviously.
Yes.
But learning, knowing what you're doing with the ball, by the time you kind of like have an idea of where you want to go with the ball, Shelby Harris is screaming at you.
Right. Well, and Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion at least, I don't think he made any bad decisions. You know, he made a couple poor throws, and the one that Kareem picked off was late.
Yeah.
But I don't know that was a bad – like, it was the right decision. He just threw it too late.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson against the Patriots made some bad decisions.
Yeah. His last interception, it was like, what?
Some of them were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And so if you make those sorts of throws, I think, it could be a long day.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see offensively what the Broncos do. You know, do they try to air it out again? Do they rely on the ground game a little bit more and shorten the game?
I don't know.
We'll have to see.
Well, I'd just like to see them maybe score an opening drive touchdown, maybe really focus on fine details here, tuning up things and just making sure you're ready to go. But it does feel like it's all about the Broncos this week, and that if they line up and take care of business and execute the way that we know they can, they should go ahead and win this game. But you can't be overconfident. You can't just assume it. We can assume it. But they can't assume it.
Well, to me, we assumed all week they were going to go down there and beat Jacksonville pretty handedly. And were it not for the kickoff return touchdown, did beat them pretty handedly. It was essentially 23-7.
Yep.
You beat them by 2 scores. You kneeled it out at the end when you could have easily punched it in. And so the fact that they were able to go on the road, survive a slow start. They did get a field goal that first drive, but survive a slow start.
Should have been 30-7.
Yeah. Still take care of business, that sort of thing.
Yep.
To me, that means, okay, well, you've avoided one trap game that's probably harder because you're going
on the road
across the country. It's hot there.
Yep.
You're coming home. I just think a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who's a veteran in this league, he knows he's going to have him ready to play.
Yeah, he said that he talked about it on Wednesday, what it was like when he was with Minnesota coming here in 2015. Yeah. He was like, I hope that the experience I had is what Zach Wilson has this week.
Yeah. Did Darian Stewart sealed that win or no?
I don't think it was
that
close.
One.
No,
okay.
He sealed the game against the Baltimore.
The Ravens. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Our good friend Mike Kliss tweeted something that I thought was interesting. He said the Broncos are 2-0.
The mattress sponsorship?
No, not mattress firm.
Okay.
Eric, do you think we might get a discount at Mattress Firm?
Well, I don't know. Teddy
asked
might for one.
Get a free bed.
Yeah, he said, I hope. Good out of context quote. I hope we get free beds.
Yeah. Yeah, Mattress Firm, obviously, a patch on the Broncos practice jerseys.
Yeah, Mike Kliss was very interested.
Very excited. He wants a free mattress.
Apparently.
Yeah. I'd take a free mattress.
Yeah, with your back, you can use one.
Yeah,
firm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mattress Firm.
But he did tweet something. He said the Broncos are 2-0, and they still have 9 home games to go. So that, if you just look in the math, Eric.
That's true.
That's nice. That's nice.
And they got 6 road games to go.
They do. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's true because you figure can you go 6-3 at home or 7-2? And then you just have to steal a couple on the road to make this work. But it's not the same as like starting 2-0 if you had road wins over the Steelers and the Browns. Yeah. You know, like
that's, Raiders, they beat they beat the Ravens and Steelers.
But
those
are two tough teams. Exactly. Like their 2-0 start, they've beaten some better
legit teams.
So you are 2-0 and you do have 9 home games left, but the two wins you have were you had to win those games.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, there's
they did what they had to do.
Phil, of like people being like, "Oh, stop about the Broncos until they play a real team." They needed to start 2-0. They need to start 3-0, and every indication is that's going to happen. Why are we acting like it's not a good thing that they
don't diminish it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And any given Sunday, anybody can beat you in this.
And it's not a, you know, there are plenty of teams in the NFL that would not have gone on the road and beat the Giants.
Did you like what Urban Meyer told Vic Fangio? According to Fangio, said every week in the NFL, it's like you're facing an Alabama.
Do you think Urban's going to like that Vic relayed that?
Ooh. Do you think that was in private?
I mean, it doesn't. I don't think that makes Urban look great, does it?
Well, I mean, it is just a reality, though.
Yeah.
You know, it is like you're facing Alabama every week.
Yeah. But did they never beat Alabama?
Did they not?
I don't think so.
I think Ohio State did. I think so.
I don't know.
Maybe they beat Clemson. They beat Clemson.
Yeah. Alabama doesn't lose to people.
No. Yeah.
It's also, just a little aside on Urban, he's always had the best players.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so
you just line up and win.
Now that you have the same talent
or lesser talent,
all about how good of an on-field coach you are.
Margins.
This will really reveal if is Urban a good.
Well, we saw Nick Saban
coach.
Go to the NFL and it didn't work out. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he could have had Drew Brees.
Exactly.
Down there.
Drew Brees might have been a little different.
Yeah, maybe it would have been different. One thing that Urban's got going for him, he's got the number one overall pick.
That's true.
Do you see the video Vaughn posted, Sunshine?
Yes.
That was pretty funny.
Amazing.
Vaughn always has a nice little Instagram something ready to go.
For those of you who didn't see it, he took the Remember the Titans clip.
Yeah.
With Sunshine.
Yeah, that was very funny.
With Trevor Lawrence's face on it.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It was nice. Eric, let's get to some bowl predictions here.
Okay.
You got any?
Yeah, let's see. What was my I think Javonte Williams is going to score his first career touchdown.
Man, I thought that was going to happen last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think the Broncos defense. Oh, here's another one. I was going to go with interceptions. I think Von Miller will have his first forced fumble since week 7 of 2018. Can you believe
it's been that long?
Yeah.
None in 2019.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. I think Von is going to have his first strip sack, big play. Maybe even gets returned for a touchdown by somebody. But
he's going to force a fumble but not just rip it away and keep it himself.
Von has never scored a touchdown on a forced fumble, I don't think. I think his only defense...
That he forced himself? Because he scored a return for a touchdown against the Patriots.
I think that was an interception. I'm pretty sure that was an interception. If I didn't throw my phone over there, I would
have
looked it up.
We'll have the answer next week on the neutral zone.
Yeah.
Okay, those are some good predictions.
Yeah. Javonte Williams, one touchdown, not too bold. But
okay. I'll say the Broncos offense scores a touchdown on its opening drive.
Okay.
I like that. And then on defense... what do you think would be like a nice, like a night? The defense will force Zach Wilson to throw 4 interceptions back-to-back weeks.
Wow.
I like that one.
Has that ever happened?
Back-to-back weeks, 4 interceptions? I'm not sure.
It must have, right?
I saw something that said 4 interception, 0 touchdown games. There have been like 4 of them in the last couple of years. 3 were by Jets quarterbacks. Yeah.
I think I saw something like he had 4 interceptions and 3 completions, or like 2 completions. That had only been done like once in the last 30 years or something like that.
His first 2 passes were intercepted.
Yeah, he did not have a good day.
That was, and I think that the atmosphere is going to be, it's going to make it pretty tough on him. So I'll say 4 interceptions for this Broncos defense.
If they get ahead early and he has to throw, look out. Who's the Jets' backup quarterback? I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Dang.
That's why you come to us for.
You know, when we were looking at this matchup, it's like you said, Eric,
it's about
the Broncos.
Yeah.
It's about the Broncos.
Apparently, he's also dealing with they called it a minor groin injury.
He's got a minor groin?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. As Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio, too, have said, they call it a little groin.
Little groin.
That just adds insult to injury, I think.
Yes.
You know?
You got to build his confidence up.
You just threw 4 interceptions, and now they're talking about you got to little groin or a minor groin. Yeah, exactly. You don't want a minor groin going into.
No, you don't.
No.
Enemy territory with a minor groin.
Poor Zach Wilson.
Not that stuff. Eric, you got a score prediction then for us?
Oh, yeah. I will say 31-6. I don't think the Jets get in the end zone.
Ooh, really?
I think that could have been a good prediction.
That would have been nice, yeah.
I think a couple of field goals, but I don't think this Jets offense is very good.
Yeah.
I think the Broncos defense, first game at home, they're going to be fired up.
Yeah,
it's
going
to be hard to hear. Some false starts. You're backed up. You're making bad decisions. And I think the Broncos offense will roll.
Okay.
Four touchdown drives. I don't know if this team can score like 40 points just because it takes so long for them to score.
Yeah, that
like
is
they
true.
Go, they go like 8 minutes.
If they have four interceptions, like I said.
That's true.
I'm going to say 37-10.
37-10. So they get in the
37-10. They'll get in the end zone like maybe later in the game. They'll just get one.
You don't want to make it like 38 just to make it like a little weirder?
I know. I like the 37. Yeah. That 32 was.
Yeah, that was.
It was almost. When they got to
you meant 23.
What did they
you
get? Just, they got to 20, and I was like, they just need four more field goals. That's what I thought last week. Yeah.
Well, I think you meant to say 23, and you just in your mind it got flipped. You said 32.
Oh yeah, I'm not dyslexic, but maybe I was at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what did you say?
31-6.
31-6, and I said 37-10.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
We will.
We'll see what happens. Eric, let's get to our favorite part of the show, and that is voicemails, shout-outs. The end of the show. That's one of my favorite parts of this show. And Eric, we've been building this guy up all week long. We talked about him on our Monday show. We mentioned him at the beginning of the show. AJ, let's give him his due, huh?
Let's.
Okay. He sent several voicemails.
Several. If we played all of AJ's voicemails,
it would be the whole podcast. It would
be another podcast.
Yeah, it would be the AJ podcast.
He sent, I think, according to Ben Swanson, I don't think he and AJ are on good terms.
Yeah, well, because Ben Swanson last week said don't play his.
Yeah. I think he was between.
He said that. I mean, I was like, this guy likes
told
the
us,
neutral zone.
But Ben Swanson's the keeper of the voicemails.
That is true.
I don't know who gave him that kind of power.
It's a lot of power.
You watch Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
You know how like the power kind of goes to Nate's head a little bit? That could be Ben Swanson.
He does. He gets a little power hungry.
Yeah.
And he's like, these guys have me trying out for supervisor. Like, I'll show them.
Yeah. But Ben Swanson said that Nate's, or that AJ. Sent like five voicemails
overnight
like between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m.
in the early morning hours. Well, that's
AJ,
like when we're normally really fired up about the Broncos. So we're not gonna play all of his. Sorry, AJ, but this one was our favorite. We just got this one, and I thought it was the best one.
Teddy 2 Yards, right? That you guys call him. Everyone calls him Teddy 2 Yards. This is a complete joke. I've been arguing about this for the past 10 years. 60 yards in the air, this dude throws the ball, right? He throws the ball at the 22, lands at, what, the 25? Like, how far do you want him to throw the ball is my question. It's so bad that these guys are professional football evaluators, and they've missed on this dude. And everyone's paying for it. They're going to pay for it. The Jets will pay for it this week. The Jets are a joke. The Jets... Oh my, it's embarrassing that the Jets are even flying across to play a football game.
So AJ doesn't even think the Jets should come out here.
No, not worth it.
Kind of aggressive a little bit there, but he said Teddy Bridgewater threw that ball 60 air yards. Eric, what do these evaluators want? AJ, that was a tremendous voicemail.
Yeah.
I like it when you bring a lot of energy.
Yeah,
that's what I need.
Do we even know, is AJ a Broncos fan?
He is a Louisville fan.
Yeah, Louisville.
Lowell.
Yes, Louisville.
Yeah, Lowell.
You're mocking. I'm being serious.
No.
AJ,
let
us know.
It's true.
Are you a Broncos fan?
Yeah, or just a Teddy Bridgewater fan?
Or will you be? What would
Teddy
make you a Broncos fan?
Yeah. Well, this podcast, I mean, he must sit through a lot of it.
Yeah, he's like,
gosh. Some Teddy Bridgewater
He's just waiting for like that hit of Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking a lot of Teddy, so it's for
he
AJ.
He keeps playing this way, will.
But yeah, threw it down the field, Eric. That was surprising, just how many shots.
I like it.
What was he saying? Teddy 2 Yards is what he was calling him.
Yeah.
Teddy 2 Gloves, Teddy 2 Yards, conservative Teddy, steady Teddy.
I mean, it's just Teddy has more 20-yard pass attempts this year than any quarterback in the league. His yards per attempt, much higher than it's been before.
When you have Cortland Sutton, you let that thing rip.
Well, and I just appreciate the commitment to it because you miss on the first two, they're not calling it. It'd be really the pass interference, which was clear on both of those throws. it'd be really easy to just say, I'm done with that. We're going to check it down. Next third down, I'm going to go to Tim Patrick across the field.
Yeah.
And he kept at it. So I like, yep. Phil, is it?
I love the voice.
Is it a little absurd? Like, if this keeps going for a couple more weeks, are you thinking like
more AJ voicemails? Yes.
Teddy as an MVP candidate?
Oh, I think you have to have a lot of team success to be an MVP.
I mean,
candidate,
people are talking about Derek Carr as an MVP candidate.
Well, those are 2-0 teams right now. So.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, if you beat Baltimore in a couple weeks,
yeah,
do people start talking, and Teddy has a nice game, do you think people start?
It's a little early for me. I'll just say that. It's a little early.
AJ, you tell us. Down. Teddy Bridgewater, MVP candidate, if this team keeps
winning.
The Broncos
would have to be like.
You'd have to win the division.
You'd have to win the division. Yeah. If Teddy plays like this the rest of the season and the Broncos win the division, then yes.
Here's a question for you. More likely, Vic Fangio, Coach of the Year, or Teddy Bridgewater, MVP?
Coach of the Year.
Oh, really?
It's just really hard to win MVP. You got to put up crazy numbers.
It's true. More competitors.
Yeah.
But Teddy's on pace to throw for 35 touchdowns.
Yeah. That would be pretty
good.
If
you threw for 5,000 yards, 35 touchdowns, and like, obviously he's not going to go interceptionless, but five picks or something.
What if he did?
Well, then that would be good.
Okay, so that's our voicemail. 707 Neutral, if you'd like to be a part of the Neutral Zone, you got to bring the heat like AJ does if you want to make the show.
Yeah.
You want to make air, you bring the heat.
Yeah. Brandon from Iowa left one, too. He was, I think so. Right? Or am I just...
Maybe you mix that up. Yeah, he likes to leave them. Part of the problem is there's a lot of game emails, and then this is like the third. We need some more looking ahead emails, midweek email, voicemails, I mean.
Yeah.
And emails.
That's true. NeutralZoneShow@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's another way that you
can
do it.
Stick your address.
Just leave the email. And then if you want to, just put your address and I'll send you a sticker.
That's right. It's easy.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And it comes in like a nice Broncos envelope. We'll both sign
handwritten note.
Yeah.
It could be
nice.
Worth something someday.
You could put it on your mantle.
Yeah.
You know, this could be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could also hit us up on Twitter. I suppose you could DM us your address, but email is the better way to just keep track of all this.
Yeah.
At Eric Dalala with an A, at Phil Milani with a PH. That's not how you normally spell those, right?
No, but that's how we spell them.
That's how we spell them, yeah. Or if you're watching on YouTube, you like to check out the studio here, you know, you want to see our faces, you want to see Eric looking all over the place over here, just smash the subscribe button here on YouTube.
Yeah.
And leave a comment.
Yeah. What are you going to be grumpy about today, people?
Yeah. We did not wear the same thing today.
No, both wearing green
shirts.
That's
kind of nice. Yeah, that's kind of nice. And the green screen behind us, it all works beautifully together. Eric, anything else you'd like? Oh, you got any shout-outs? Of course, Liz Gerald.
Jeez, that could have been
bad. Yeah, I almost forgot. Sorry, Liz. I know you're listening.
Yeah.
Sorry. Shout-out, Liz Gerald. They gave some bikes away in honor of Greg Knapp.
Yeah.
The bikes that they built, they gave them away.
That's good. Don't want to keep them.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they did some stuff at Children's Hospital with some dogs again. It's kind of nice.
Love those dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other shout-outs? I think that...
I should do it.
I think...
Come check us out on Monday.
Shout out Flo-Rida.
Breckenridge Brewery, farmhouse
/
farm home in Littleton.
Farm home. It's a farmhouse right now. But
we're working.
We're working on making
it
a farm home.
Renovations are in progress.
Yeah. We'll have better audio next week, I promise.
It would be really hard to
be
worse.
The audio guy, fired.
My God.
Okay, that guy got fired.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're out there. There's thousands of people in the audience, and they can't
hear
what we're
saying. Yeah. That guy got fired.
Yeah.
This is the highest stakes here on the Neutral Zone.
I was like, I can't work under these conditions.
Yeah, fired. Eric fired him.
Yeah.
It's harsh. But yeah, Breckenridge Brewery from 6 to 7 will also be live on the Broncos YouTube page. So let us know. Bring your comments then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But come out. Come out to Breckenridge Brewery.
Yeah, we'll chat with
bevy.
You. We'll chat with
you. Yeah, have a bevy. It's nice. It's a good atmosphere out there.
It's really nice.
It's really nice. Yeah, it is really nice. And do it before the clocks roll back. Otherwise, it's going to be pitch black when we do
that. Oh, yeah. I forgot. We didn't plan for that very well, did we?
A couple of weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we'll move inside.
MST.
Okay. Well, we'll be back on Monday. But until then, for Eric Dalala, I'm Phil Milani. You've been listening to
The Neutral Zone.